Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. The numbers are just so silly in Major League Baseball. And Jason Stark has put this one in perspective. Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, and Nolan Arenado have combined, those four guys, for $1.32 billion worth of contracts.
Oh, my God.
The Tampa Bay Rays, total payroll in franchise history.
Oh, boy.
For 21 seasons is less than that, $1.01 billion.
Wow.
For every player in the history of the Tampa Bay Rays.
From Fred McGriff.
21 years.
To Rocco Baldelli.
Their
Jose Canseco.
Total payroll has been less than those four guys got signed
for. Wow.
You heard during the award-winning Trending Now.
Thank you, Dale.
Moments ago.
Yes.
It was the triumphant, well, I mean, his team won.
It was
the return of Isaiah Thomas last night. He didn't score any points, but, you know.
He did not. He actually played. I wasn't sure he was going to play, you know, because it was a close game.
Yeah,
and no, I know, but they put him in there. He played 7 minutes. He went 0 for 2 from the floor. Nuggets, really good team. A quiet, really good team. Tied for the best record with the Warriors out west. Jokic is great. He's going to be an all NBA guy probably. I like their backcourt. They got a good team. No real flashy guy. You know, Jokic might get MVP votes, but no true MVP candidate, I wouldn't think. And yet here they are 47-22 and they come in there and beat the Celtics. But the story was definitely the return of Isaiah Thomas. And after all that buildup, you finally got the tribute video.
Which we've been waiting for. They've had it in the can for a while.
I'll admit, pretty cool.
It was they do a real nice job on that stuff.
They do a good job with it. Isaiah was emotional, as you would expect him to be. Tommy Heinsohn was in tears. They said cameramen were crying.
I mean,
standing ovation for a while.
Was that just the guys from NBC Sports Boston, the
Could've
two camera
everybody.
Guys. Was it those
the camera
guys?
Yeah, maybe it was.
They were
those guys were all
tears.
Choked up. You can't blame them. But it was a good atmosphere. I just thought it got so out of hand with the, oh, Isaiah, they had a tribute, but he didn't want it because he wasn't going to play. He was hurt. And then he said, then he wanted it on Paul Pierce night.
Shouldn't have happened.
No, it shouldn't have. But it got so stupid that it made me not like Isaiah Thomas. But I feel like that's more in the past. Isaiah has certainly forgiven Danny Ainge for trading him and all that stuff. He still has this insane connection with the city of Boston and with the fans of Boston. And we got a really cool moment last night.
Back in 2016-17, his last year here, he averaged 33.8 minutes a game. He averaged 28.9 points per game and was arguably as popular an athlete as this city had, right up there with Ortiz and Brady, and those guys had world championships stuck to their names.
Right.
But the fans loved this guy. You heard Tommy Heinsohn in the open, got a little emotional, saying, you know, one of the most fun players who's ever worn a the most fun player who's ever worn a Celtics uniform.
The most fun player to watch, which at first I would dismiss it, but then you think about it, and the answer should still probably be Larry Bird.
The little guy.
But he really was like he, and because he's listed at 5'9".
See, that's what it is.
Yeah, but
fine. He looks like a normal human being in a game of giants.
But that's fine.
He looks like a normal sized guy and fan. And by the way, hustled his ass off, played hard.
He finished fifth in the MVP that season. He was an all NBA second team player, and they got further than anybody thought that they would when you looked at that roster.
And everybody loved him.
So they beat expectations. It was sort of an underdog story, both the team and the player. He was the last pick in the draft. He, you know, bounced around teams. And then here he is, he's the king of the fourth and all that stuff. And it was a lot of fun. But the reality is they traded him for a better player. Now, maybe you don't like everything Kyrie Irving says, but Kyrie Irving is better, and Danny Ainge would do that trade every single time, and he should have. But Isaiah Thomas, for a guy who did not win a title and didn't even make it to the NBA Finals, has a good of a relationship with the fans here as I think we've seen in decades.
So he's wearing his green and gold sneakers last night.
Which, if you're a Nuggets fan, well, just get off my team
that's
then.
That's kind of what I'm yeah. leading to here. He's wearing the green and gold sneakers, which he had made for the NBA Finals. Which
the sneakers was for the Finals the last year I was here.
Why so are you making final those. Sneakers? What's the matter with you?
Well, he's had them in the back of the closet for a couple of years now.
Good Lord.
I mean, post-game, when he's still wearing his Nuggets stuff, he's talking about wanting to come back here and what a great thing that would be.
Best fans in the world. It's like you're still on the Denver Nuggets.
Still drawing a paycheck from the Denver Nuggets.
Right.
Still have to go back home and play in front of those fans.
Right.
If they play.
Well, true.
You know, at some point here. I mean, he did everything but beg Danny Ainge to bring him back here next year.
Crazy.
When he's a free agent in the offseason.
Yes, he is.
I don't want to bring him back.
I do.
I do not.
Well,
I just don't think he's the same guy. Now, somebody on the text machine took me to task and said, all the stuff you're saying about Isaiah Thomas applies to Dustin Pedroia. Maybe fair, by the way. If he's goosed and porked,
right.
If he's done, then you know I don't want him out there either.
But I just think I would take the upshot of it. I wouldn't expect a whole lot. And let's face it, he's making $2 million this season from the Denver Nuggets.
Which sounds like a lot to you and me. But
but for an NBA player, that was just 2 years ago was an all-NBA player and was half joking about backing up the Brinks truck. We had conversations here. When he was healthy, would you pay Isaiah Thomas the max?
I know.
And we said yes, or at least a lot of people said yes. At the time, I didn't know Kyrie Irving wanted to be traded. I didn't know what the landscape would be. This was before they were really signing free agents. I said, yes, that looks dumb now, but that's also because of the injury and everything else. So he went from maybe being a $30 million a year guy to making $2 million on a one-year deal. He has played in 10 total games. What do they have left? 10? So, and he won't play in 20.
No.
And he's not going to play a lot in the playoffs.
I mean, let's be honest. He played last night because it was here.
Right. Exactly. Mike Malone did him a solid and said, go ahead and get out there.
By the way, if you could not beg to come back here when you're done, that'd be good, too.
You take your green shoes off, you idiot. And so if he goes to free agency, he's not going to make a lot more than $2 million. So I look at it as just an insanely low risk. And maybe he returns to not Celtics form, but Kings and Suns Isaiah Thomas, where he's a solid, decent enough scorer off the bench, not big minutes. I also think with both Kyrie Irving and Terry Rozier both being free agents at the end of this year, there's no scenario in which they're both back. Either Kyrie's back and maybe they trade for Anthony Davis or whatever, or Kyrie leaves and then they pay Rozier to start, which I wouldn't love, but maybe they do that. Either way, I think the role of backup point guard would be up for grabs, and it could probably be done with Isaiah really, really cheaply.
Can we point out, and not, you know, these are details, and maybe, you know, Isaiah doesn't remember all the details. In the Eastern Conference Finals that year,
yeah,
when they played Cleveland,
yeah,
they lost by an average of 30 points every game.
They did not do well.
They got thrashed.
So
and yet, post game, he said if he had stayed,
he needs to be drug tested. When he says they would have won,
would you mind going behind the screen here and just peeing in a cup?
Like,
for
I said,
us?
Real random. Can you come over here for a second? So he said they would have won a title if he stayed. That's idiotic, and that's again just him playing it up to the fans. I think like did you see him playing at Emerson the other night? So he tweeted about, hey, is there any games going on? And somebody tweeted back and said, yeah, come to Emerson. And he showed up. He went to Emerson. And there's a great video. Barstool tweeted out. So he's playing. He's running up and down the court. Some spaz grabs the ball, comes running down, takes like this running shot from like the free throw line. One of the worst shots you've ever seen in your life. So he's playing in a pickup game with Isaiah Thomas. And then it's like the worst college basketball kid you've ever seen in your life. But Isaiah's been gone for two seasons. Or really just one season. So he said we would have won the title if I was still here. So
did you ever think about what could have been, like, long-term, if you stayed?
Yeah, we would have probably won a championship, all right.
So last year you would have won the title. That's the only year.
This year you don't have a chance yet.
Because 2 years ago he was on the team.
Right, right.
Last year he wasn't.
So
this
last
year hasn't
year
played out
the
yet.
Year they would have won the title.
Yeah. They would have won a championship by now. So, what? I mean, I guess, would you say, because Kyrie didn't play, although the dynamics would have been way off, so you can't even say that. Maybe I'll allow it that maybe they beat Cleveland last year, because they probably should have beaten them anyway. They had a 3-2 series lead.
Yeah, maybe.
But they're going to get absolutely waxed by Golden State. But that's the confidence And Isaiah Thomas, I guess.
And I just think that if he did come back here, it would be for a farewell tour. It would probably not end well, either for him or for the fans. Chances are, if he were signed, he would be a bench role player who'd get minimal minutes a night. Probably not going to be real happy with that. As much as he loves Boston, he's probably not going to like being in that position here.
He may not. I mean, but he's not going to start anywhere. Like, that's the thing.
You wouldn't think.
He is kind of falling off.
So he's figuring if I'm going to be a backup guy anyway, I'd rather do it here.
That'd be my thought. And then maybe you get the occasional big game out of him. You know, something that you're not going to get consistently, but maybe he still has it in him. On the other side of that was Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie was obviously at the center of the Isaiah Thomas trade. And for a guy who's been up and down, I think his relationship with both the media and even the fans, because some of the stuff that Kyrie Irving has complained about this season, he kind of puts on the media, but it's clearly the fans. When he's talking about, like, I'm off social media, like, is that really just, that's the regular media, like going on your Twitter or going on your Instagram? Like, I don't think so. So I think he's had some issues with the fans a little bit. But so it had to be kind of weird for Kyrie Irving, who is, again, a better player than Isaiah Thomas, to see the impact that Isaiah had on this crowd and vice versa. And who guy was only here for 2.5 years, never made it to the finals, and he's watching this response.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we all understand that, you know, personal emotions and business really don't mix, especially in the NBA. You know, you have a plan where you would like to stay somewhere, and then, you know, the organization moves in another direction. And, you know, we respect all those guys who are in the top positions to make those decisions. But you could just see that the connection that guys have with fans that they build in the community, you know, stick with them for the rest of their careers, and the fans support them for the rest of their careers as well, for the most part, at least. You know, so it's just awesome. You know, it's well documented what he's done here. And, you know, for me, it's a unique position because I'm the one who got traded for him. So, you know, I just want to see him do well. We got drafted the same year. You know, he's dealt with a lot of BS in his career, just trying to be the underdog all the time instead of getting the opportunity he deserves. And Boston gave him that opportunity. He flourished. And unfortunately, he had that hip injury. And, you know, but he'll be back at the top of his game in no time. And, you know, you don't ever got to worry about a talented guy like that finding a job in any NBA and making an impact somewhere. So,
do you think the crowd reaction makes Kyrie want to stay, leave, or has no impact on him?
It probably has minimal impact, but if it has any, it's, I got to get out of here. They don't love me like they love that guy.
Yeah, I'm better than him.
I'm a much better player than
him. Yeah, that's what I think. And maybe I've been obviously kind of skewed negative with Kyrie Irving.
No, as I hadn't noticed.
Yes, I don't know if you heard, Dale. He apologized to Bron.
I heard something.
Still hung
about
up on that. But I look at it, and he's going to be saying, really? You guys are upset. You guys love Isaiah Thomas like this? And a big part of it is expectations. Isaiah Thomas's team wasn't supposed to get to the conference finals. This team is supposed to get to the NBA finals. Now, they haven't not gotten there yet, but the way he's been treated versus Isaiah.
Not gotten there. Okay, I got
it. You can follow. You can follow me there. You know what I'm saying.
Haven't gotten there, yeah.
But yeah, I look at it. He's saying, okay, all right, let's go to the Knicks. Let's go to the Knicks. If the Knicks get the number one pick, he's going to the Knicks. What do you think? Durant and Zion?
Zion together.
Not bad.
Yeesh. Yep. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got a Kiefer Madness coming up next. Then back to your calls on the other side. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WEEI.
Get connected with Rich Keefe on Twitter at Keefe21. Now back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great buildup and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay.
So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
Yes. We don't need you. Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness.
Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you rock.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Or Rizzle Von Drizzle.
So ballpark, how many massages have you gotten?
70.
Pizza special because it's the only thing that tastes like pizza. It's bread, sauce, meat, cheese. what isn't that that we eat?
Wanting to wear his body parts or bathe in his blood.
I don't want to talk about that.
All right, it's noon 30 on a Tuesday.
Bathe
that means it's time.
Blood?
Yeah, that one was aggressive. That was.
Hope you're joining us on your lunch break.
Well,
now.
That was that stalker lady from before. She sent 65,000 texts to a former.
That would generally do it. Yeah,
lover of hers, or at least somebody that she wanted to be a lover of hers.
Yeah.
I don't know that ended up actually happening.
I was
going
to say, does it count if it's not reciprocated?
No, maybe not.
Probably
Dale,
not.
We go down to Alabama for story.
As, by the way, Bill Belichick's in Alabama today.
Is that right?
Working at the Alabama Pro Day today.
That's good.
So good news, he's off the beach. He's back on the beat.
Good. So I know people were worried he wasn't doing his job. So
I was
out there
scared to death. Yeah.
He's working guys out there at Bama, so that's good.
Sunday afternoon, everyone, all new today at 4. An incredible story you just won't believe. A robbery turned into a knife fight inside and outside a Huntsville gas station.
That's right, Dale. We got ourselves an old-fashioned knife fight.
Okay.
You ever been in a knife fight, Dale?
You know, I have to admit that's one of the highlights that I've missed in my lifetime.
Now, this...
How many did you survive in the mean streets of Geneva, New York?
Oh, a lot. A lot. You had to really avoid those knives. Always have your knife on you, because you never know when one's going to break out.
Yeah.
Lindsay Connell is the First Alert Center right now with us to tell us all about this story.
Seth Holcomb and Lainey Nicholson, who you see behind me here, were arrested early Saturday morning. They allegedly tried to rob a Conoco gas station on Pulaski Pike.
Pulaski Pike? They could fit in with our new sponsor, I would say.
In fact, if they could open up a place on Pulaski Pike, that'd be even better.
That'd be even better. Be
EHS
even
Pest, the proud pest control partner of the Boston Red Sox.
Not bad.
Station on Pulaski Pike, armed with knives. And the surveillance footage was just released to us by Huntsville Police.
Now, let me stop right there. I've never robbed a gas station before, Dale, and it's not something
I don't know.
It's not something I envision doing.
Oh, okay.
But if I were... If I were to do it, I don't think it would be with a knife.
I don't
think so. Hey, come on. The other thing is,
I mean, let's be honest.
Wait, what?
Because my first thought when you started this whole thing was,
yes.
You know, is this like a Crocodile Dundee knife? That's not a knife.
Oh, yeah.
That's a knife.
Oh, there's more than
one. Because it's Alabama, is it some guy with a butter knife?
Yeah, there's more than one knife in the story.
Okay.
Just hang on to your hat if you could.
And the surveillance footage was just released to us by Huntsville Police. It captures the scary incident and how the clerk fought back.
That's right. We got a clerk who fights back. I like this.
I might just pull out a gun.
Defend yourself
just,
a little bit.
You know, my thought.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Surveillance cameras show how a daring robbery played out at a North Huntsville gas station, and the clerk made for a surprising turn of events. It happened early Saturday at a Conoco on Pulaski Pike.
We know. We got it. You've already
said
it.
The whole Pulaski Pike thing.
We understand.
EHS Pest, the proud pest control partner of the Boston Red Sox.
Uh-huh. Pretty well said.
According to police, Seth Holcomb walked up to the counter to make a purchase. He leaves the store, then comes back in as if to make a second purchase.
Ooh, that's a red flag. Anytime somebody comes back for a second purchase?
Once in a while, you forget the Slim Jims.
Oh, maybe.
You don't know. You meant to get a big gulp Dr. Pepper and you left it off.
That's suspicious to me. You come in, you make one purchase, you leave. That's sort of the unwritten rules of gas stations.
This story
worries
me.
Don't come back in.
I've made second trips.
You've come back in? What, to rob the place?
Never robbed a place.
No?
But now I'm worried that if I do, that's what people are
going
to suspect.
What'd you forget? What'd you go back in there for?
Like gum or water if you're like, my wife's sitting in the car and I got all this stuff.
She's looking at you like, where's your...
As I'm walking back to the car, I see her go, forgot about everything she wanted.
What happened here was this guy was casing the joint. He walked in there, he looked around, probably looked at security cameras, which he didn't see because we saw this entire video.
Oh, good. So genius is what you're saying.
Oh, we saw the whole thing. I think he was just making sure maybe there was no other people in the store, witnesses, as it were. I'm not entirely sure.
That's when he pulled out a knife at the counter. What he didn't expect was that the clerk would pull out a machete of his own.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
So it's Crocodile Dundee.
It is. He's like, he had a knife, and the gentleman had a knife. Not like a butter knife, but certainly in between the two. And then this guy from underneath the counter pulls out an enormous
machete.
That's
not a knife.
That's as intimidating as anything. I think I'd be more scared of a machete than a gun for some reason. Maybe that's just the way my head works, but if I saw the machete, I would lose my mind.
So if somebody pulls out a machete or somebody pulls out a gun, the fear factor is higher
machete,
with the machete.
Higher.
Oh, a machete
higher.
Looks much more
it's
intimidating.
More and he's like, this guy wants to torture me. Guy's nuts. He's going to hack a limb off.
You can outrun, potentially,
I can outrun a bullet, too, if I have the right shoes on. Yeah.
Really?
If I have the right shoes on.
You know, you should have had a better career in Hobart than you did.
I should have.
Yes.
What he didn't expect was that the clerk would pull out a machete of his own. Holcomb tries to run away at that point, but the clerk remotely locks the door.
Now's you can't leave.
Yeah! Yeah, this guy, he was going to leave. He scared him away with a machete, but he's like,
I'm going to get him.
So he locks the door from behind. So you see the whole video. You see the guy who was trying to rob the place turn around, run to the door, and it's locked. So he's slamming on the door, and the guy comes from behind him. And it's really weird because he's going for more intimidation strikes than he is actual damage. Well, he's waving around the machete like
a lunatic. Did you have to lock the door so that you could...
He locked him in. But he's like hitting around him. Like, it's really weird.
This guy has been training for this moment.
That's a good
because
point.
The fact in his mind that he goes, I'm taking the machete out.
Yeah.
I'm going to, because the guy runs.
I've been waiting for this moment.
He doesn't run out the door. If that's me, someone pulls a machete, I'm out the door. You'll never see me
see
again.
You later.
This guy runs down the chip aisle.
Yeah.
He goes, locks the door, and knows he's in for it.
I'm going to kill this guy.
That's exactly.
I'm going to absolutely kill this guy.
Or at least take an arm or two off.
That's true.
That's when a full-on knife fight broke out, tearing up the store.
Full-on knife fight, destruction everywhere. These guys, it's weird, though. They're swinging at each other, but they're not really stabbing each other or cutting each other up. It's flailing attempts.
Yeah, fourth wall, a little bit of Kiefer Madness. Sometimes we'll look at the story and be like, okay, knife fight, we can't do this. Like, someone's going to lose an arm, a leg.
That's not true. We would have led with that at 10 a.m. if the guy lost.
Well, that's what I meant.
Oh, yeah.
But honestly, like, you're like, okay.
This is so bizarre.
And then this guy's got this gigantic...
It's an enormous machete.
Machete.
The size of his arm.
And he's swinging all around, but he's, like, purposely not hitting this gentleman.
He's, like, causing a commotion more than anything else. Like, he's trying to scare him with sound.
There's some woman retiree who's got the night shift who's looking underneath the counter going, what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
They're like, oh, that's Steve. He tried to beef up home security here at the gas station.
Holcomb eventually escaped the store by throwing something through the window.
He smashes the window. And he gets out. He escapes through the doorway.
He's
and
like
then,
begging the cops to come save him.
And then he's got the world's worst getaway driver waiting for him.
But the clerk chased him outside. That's when the second suspect comes into play. Lainey Nicholson was waiting outside the store near the suspect's car.
Yeah, she's standing outside of the car. They're like, what are you doing? First of all, we're robbing the place. So either you're running out with money.
In the car.
Get going.
With the foot on the gas.
Right.
Let's be ready to go here.
She's walking around the car.
She allegedly also pulled out a knife when the clerk chased the first suspect out.
Geez.
She also is knifed up.
Did she not?
She's got a knife.
Did she not understand about the whole machete thing?
I don't think she saw the machete because her knife also
wasn't
as big.
I like how you say that, by the way.
Machete.
Yeah,
yes,
it's good.
That's
I like
very
it.
Nice.
She allegedly also pulled out a knife when the clerk chased the first suspect out and also started fighting with the clerk. Holcomb ran back inside the store and took the cash drawer out of the register.
Yeah, so the first guy, they spill outside, and now that the woman is distracting the guy.
You keep him occupied.
That's what he does. He goes, he doubles back for the register. So he's in there. Meanwhile, the guy who is the manager of the gas station is chasing this woman around a car with a knife. Or a machete.
But the clerk didn't make the suspects get away easy, pounding on their car with his machete.
Like, destroyed.
How much damage can you legitimately do? I mean, you're going to make it look a mess, but it'll start.
So what he did was, it'll definitely start. Rather than hitting it with the blade, he turned it around and, like, the butt end of it and was smashing the windshield with it.
He had some anger management issues.
Oh, he was fired up.
You know, he had obviously been robbed at some point previous and said, you know what? Never again.
Not going to happen. Again,
this was part of his drills, Dale. This guy knew.
He can't wait. He was
said,
ready to go.
And by the way, these robbers, the okie doke that they pulled on this guy,
he did kind of give him like the crazy Ivan a little bit.
Yeah, it's like you bait them one way, and then the other guy's like, "Well, I came here to steal money. I got to get back in there."
Yeah, they must have been really messed up though, because you're like, "I'm gonna fight this guy with the machete."
Well, at this point,
I guess
I got to get that money.
Got a few bucks.
By the way, now you guys have seen the video, so help me out with the lovely prom date who was supposed to be driving the car.
Looked like just a standard woman. Nothing out of the
ordinary.
So
it wasn't like she dressed out at 225 or anything like that?
No.
No, she was
standard.
Yeah, everything was
average
properly
build,
placed.
Average across the board.
IQ of a coffee cup,
well,
apparently.
That for sure is true, yes.
He told police that he wanted to leave enough marks on the vehicle so that they could easily recognize it.
You for sure could, pal. You definitely accomplished that.
So the first 12 or 13 wouldn't have got the job done then.
Well, it's funny because the lady's like trying to fight him off, and he's more just smashing the car. Like, he's not even going after her. He could have killed her if he wanted to.
And she probably could have stabbed him. This is a very
weird, it's like a choreographed fight in a way, because nobody really got hurt.
It's like a West Side Story.
It is very similar.
A dangerous chain of events, cameras documenting the whole thing. A clerk who did what he could to defend the business and himself.
And his honor.
He really did.
He was defending his honor.
Yeah, he should be looked up to.
Now, the suspects were able to escape, but they were arrested by police a short time later.
It's the car with all the marks all over the hood. You can't miss it.
No, they got arrested at the Burger King down the street. It was literally what happened.
They were hungry.
That was the next thing. They didn't make it very far.
They had worked up an appetite.
They're like, we got all this money now. Let's get a couple Whoppers and we'll be good.
They're charged with robbery and other offenses. Amazingly, there were no serious injuries in this incident, and no medical treatment beyond first aid was needed by those involved. Liz, unbelievable.
That was amazing.
Thank you, Liz.
That was amazing.
Yes, it was.
Liz, unbelievable.
That was amazing.
So there you go. Nobody got hurt in this. Nobody got hurt. It's unbelievable.
Well, it would seem to me that the pride of the two would-be robbers had to have been severely damaged.
Yes, for sure. They would got to think twice about doing this again. It was not a successful turn.
I'm trying to picture him, you know, explaining to his prom date about this whole scheme here.
He's like, listen.
And she's saying, shouldn't we bring a gun? And he's saying, I can't afford a gun.
He's like, so,
I got a knife. I took it out of the kitchen. You want one?
Right.
I got one for you, too.
Let's park the car. Let's have you get out. Walk around.
You know, maybe you could wash the windows and stuff
while I'm in here. Yeah,
like, getting a barrel full of cash.
Fill it with regular. Actually, just put 20 in regular on that if you could, and then we'll come back out. Like, I don't know what the plan was.
Oh, do I have to prepay at this pump?
And 20 on pump 6. He's like, what? You're robbing me right now. But I respect that guy. We looked for interviews with the owner of the gas station. Could not find him.
Was he a large man?
Pretty intimidating. No, about the same size as the guy who robbed him. It would have been a fair fist fight.
But the machete.
Machete was significantly bigger. They probably pulled over for snacks and then were like, you know what? There's only one guy in there. We could rob it. I don't think there was much more thought than that.
Do you have a knife?
I always have my knife.
I got one.
Get it ready.
Let's go.
Get it ready to go.
Man. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Pounding on their car with his machete. What he didn't expect was that the clerk would pull out a machete of his own. That's when a full-on knife fight broke out.
Liz, unbelievable.
That was amazing.
Knife. That's a knife.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Video, but too many media outlets picked this up and etc. And I don't understand why, because I'm a loser and I suck, so I don't know why people care what I have to say, right? Anyways, here's the play. He caught an RB run, 42, I believe. But then he tried to give the ball to the fullback, but he hit him on arm. I talked to Will Johnson. Will Johnson says in no shape, form, or fashion was that a fullback run, because he would have remembered a fullback run given to him, because fullbacks don't get the ball. So fullbacks cherish their carries.
No, this is not the gas station attendant in Alabama speaking. Which football genius was
Who's this guy again?
That is the world-famous Josh Harris.
Josh Harris. So Josh Harris's contention, and bear with me here, his contention is that Ben Roethlisberger didn't like the play call from the sidelines, so he intentionally fumbled the ball away. Intentionally fumbled it away.
Okay, I'll play along.
Because he didn't like the play call.
Oh.
It might be the single dumbest. Now, I understand Ben Roethlisberger has some detractors out there, one of whom is now in Oakland. I mean, I know that not everybody likes him. That's fine.
Wait, so this guy, just to get this straight, he played for the Steelers in 2014?
Yeah, and it's been a while.
And then he has been playing in Canada. He plays for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yeah.
And a Pittsburgh Steeler fan apparently has gotten into his Wikipedia page. So Josh Harris is a running back.
Yes.
But according to Wikipedia, his position is clown. So I think somebody has sort of tapped into that.
I mean, honest to God, he sounds like a dope here. So his contention, he shows this video of this fumble.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to make the case that Roethlisberger did it on purpose because he didn't like the play call. He's Ben Roethlisberger. If he didn't like the play call, he changes it.
Yeah, wouldn't he audible out of that?
He changes it at the line of scrimmage. He doesn't say, oh, you want to call that? I'll show you.
Now, this story, though, to me, has more to do with how much do teammates respect Roethlisberger. Because even if this part isn't true, nobody would say this about Tom Brady. Like, no guy on the team, and Tom Brady, I know, might be an extreme example, but take any top quarterback. Have there been guys that say, oh, Drew Brees did something on purpose, or Drew Brees is a jerk or whatever? Ben Roethlisberger is a little bit different because he goes on his weekly radio show and basically blames everybody else but himself for certain problems that they have. You know, the whole Antonio Brown thing really blew up in his face. The thing the general manager said about how it's Ben Roethlisberger and 52 kids, that was terrible. I just think this has more to do, whether or not he fumbled on purpose or not, and I'm with you, that seems a little much, but I think it has more to say with how Ben Roethlisberger's teammates view him, which is not in a very good light, and he's not the only one that's saying stuff.
Look,
about
I don't think there's any doubt that there are teammates who don't have a whole lot of use for him.
Yeah,
you know, there are those who say that he changed. One of those was Ryan Clark. In fact, Ryan Clark, who you know obviously was a member of that team as well. Talked about the whole thing with Roethlisberger and the change in him.
What resulted from that meeting? Like, what did you guys do after that?
Went to work. You know, it was just
and
one of those things.
He wasn't in there to be clear.
He was in the meeting.
He was in the meeting.
Okay. He was directly addressed. His name was called. It was the reason we talked. And I think it was one of those things where older players, leaders of the teams, captains of the team felt like, because that year, after winning the Super Bowl, we were 8-8. We started the year with a losing record, and so it was a lot of things going on, and they felt like that was one of the huge deals happening on the team.
So he claims that this fumble was addressed at a meeting. You mean Ben Roethlisberger is the only quarterback who's ever fumbled on handoff in the history of the NFL?
No, I feel like it has happened before, but I just think this is more Steelers issues that they have.
I've seen the video for people who are asking me. Yes, I've seen the video.
Did he fumble on purpose? Why would he want to turn the ball over?
Ryan Clark was asked that same question. That was his response.
Why would he fumble? And so Ryan Clark. So Ryan Clark's more of a player than Josh Harris, and he was in the league longer than Josh Harris was. So I think his word means a little bit more, especially as he was a teammate longer with Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, but they don't like him.
So Josh Harris didn't seem to have much of a reason why he would do it other than the fact that he didn't like the call, right?
I guess. I don't know. It seems like, because that goes against your stats, doesn't it? That's your fumble.
Yes.
So I don't think that would be something that he would want to do. I don't know. But it just seems like this was a team that was supposed to be one of the few teams that more often than not, they're a contender. You know, you have the Patriots every year in it. Other teams kind of, they're up and down, whether it's the Bengals or the Ravens or the Broncos or the Colts, they're kind of up and down, up and down. Steelers, for the most part, are always there, even though the Patriots have their number. But now, they lose Le'Veon Bell, they lose Antonio Brown. The one guy they're sticking with is Ben Roethlisberger, and I feel like everybody hates him. And he's not as good as he used to be.
So Mike Pouncey responded. he said to Josh Harris, SMH, shake my head.
That's right.
Let it go. You can't win this argument. If he would have handed it off to you, it would have been an even worse outcome. Even with film, I still don't believe you played for the Steelers. That's Marquise Pouncey, did this guy really play for the Steelers?
That's a pretty good burn. That's actually been the offensive line, I think, has Roethlisberger's back.
Yes.
Like they've sort of been in favor of Roethlisberger. And yeah, that's the one. If you lose your offensive line as a quarterback, then forget it. Like, what are you even doing? But
so
they've supported
him. In Josh Harris's entire NFL career,
yeah,
he rushed for 16 yards.
It's minimal.
His entire NFL career.
So they should have given him the ball, is what you're saying.
So he's going to talk about the leadership of Ben Roethlisberger and Ben Roethlisberger intentionally fumbling.
So I'll admit that Josh Harris is not the
best.
And
I don't even like Ben Roethlisberger.
No, I don't either. So I'll admit that Josh Harris isn't the best messenger for this, but I do feel like he's probably not alone. Not in this specific example. Like, not in this fumble one. Maybe he should have said something else. But Ryan Clark is not as easy to dismiss. Antonio Brown is not as easy to dismiss. So those guys, they have issues with Roethlisberger, and he's certainly not getting any better. So, like, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think you can really cross off as a contender for next year.
Now, a texter says, maybe it's true. Have you heard of a player ever accused their quarterback of this before? No. Fumbling on purpose.
No, I've heard of the old, you know, maybe it was a running play and they checked out to a passing play to try to throw more touchdowns or, you know, things like that they've, you know, called their own number on or whatever, but not turning it over. Even if you're mad at your team, why would you do that? That's sort of a screwy example.
Yeah, it's hard for me to picture what's in it for Ben in this.
No, I know.
I'm going to show him.
Like to prove a point. But
a play that you check out of.
Right. Or if you thought the play sucked, just let him run it, and maybe chances are it's a tackle for a loss anyway, and then you're like, see, why did we do that?
Josh Harris goes into a little more detail of why.
All right, let's hear it.
And if you blatantly wanted to fumble the ball, would you just do it, just drop the ball? No. You would do it as a miscommunication. Because you're in the NFL, you're a Hall of Fame quarterback, so you can't just drop the ball on national TV, so you're going to say it's a miscommunication. But hey, what do I know? Because everybody, oh, you're lying. You suck. See, here's why you only had 6 carries. You suck. But bro, I was in the game. I was on the field. You were at home.
True. Good point. I wasn't there.
All right. So now
I like this Josh Harris.
Imagine what Josh Harris is saying. He says Todd Haley called a running play with very little time left in the game. Ben wanted to kneel, so he kneels.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Roethlisberger didn't like Todd Haley either, right? Wasn't that another one?
They
had their issues.
So Todd Haley calls a running play.
Yeah.
Little time left in the game. Ben wanted to kneel, so he takes what?
I don't know. Fight him?
He might lose that one.
This scenario actually makes more sense. Because what was the score? They were probably up big, so they could have just kneeled. So he thinks we should kneel. Haley thinks they should run one more play, so he fumbles. And then it'll make the offensive coordinator look bad. So actually, I'm coming around on this. This makes a little bit more sense.
They were up by 10 at the time.
Yeah, so even if you give them the ball back in a minute and 10, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of dumb.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah.
But then you probably should have run the ball. Something stinks here.
Todd Haley put the call in for a handoff, and Ben Roethlisberger decided, I'm just going to stick it on his hip so it fumbles.
I'm just going to fumble this on purpose.
Well,
and by the way, I don't like Ben Roethlisberger.
Then stop defending him.
Yeah, but
I will take
the
other side.
This one's a little hard for me to fathom.
Whatever the other side is, I will take that. Josh Harris, who ran a 4.46 at his pro day at Wake Forest. You like that? The guy can burn. Speedster. How many reps do you think he did of 225? Keep in mind, he's 5'10", 206. Little running back.
I'll say 20.
28.
Like him? You want to?
I would give you a machete, and he would still kick your ass. How do you like that? You like that? You could have two machetes. Wouldn't matter.
Listen, Hardo.
What do you think of that? What do you mean?
You and
Hardo?
Yeah, because you're all about the combine with these players. It doesn't
matter.
Well,
that was his pro day. I don't think he was invited to the combine.
Even worse that you're looking at these. These are things. They started the clock on that run about 2 seconds into it.
He's pretty good. This guy, good player up in Canada.
He's not even in the AAF?
No, he plays for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, I said.
How old is he?
He's 28.
We'll see him in the XFL next year.
He could make. He could. I think so. Maybe that's what he's doing. Actually,
getting his name out there.
Yeah, maybe that's what. You know what?
27-17. A minute 10 left. They're playing Cincinnati.
And big rivalry game.
Yeah, that too.
It is.
And according to Josh Harris, Ben didn't like the call from Haley, so he intentionally stuck this on the running back's hip.
You're not buying it.
That would stick. That would be a stench. That's sabotage. Win or lose that game.
Yeah, he's a saboteur.
That is just not appropriate in football.
That is not appropriate.
Sir, please. Have some respect for the game, would you? That is not appropriate. It wouldn't be appropriate. You think he's throwing the game? He's throwing something. But there were a lot of reports. I think it was even that year.
By the
Roethlisberger
way,
and Haley did not get along.
And that's fine. And if I was going to do it, if I was Ben and I was going to do it, wouldn't I just fumble the snap?
No.
Why not?
Because if you just wanted to kneel, what's to say you wouldn't have fumbled the snap anyway?
No, but my point is...
Because he didn't want to run that specific play.
So I'm going to... Now, I wanted to kneel. He wants me to hand off.
Right.
So I'm going to fumble it on purpose.
Yes.
Just fumble the snap.
No, because...
that looks on him.
Right, because that is on him. The snap is what... You still would have to take a snap for the kneel down. You're saying, why are we running another play? Because the reason why teams don't run other plays is because they don't want to risk a turnover. And because based on timeouts and how much time is left, you can just run the clock out. So Haley must have looked at it and said, we need to run one more actual play before we get into the kneel downs. Roethlisberger disagreed, so then he just threw it on his hip. I'm all in on this Josh Harris. I have 100% agree with this guy.
We've gone from here to there in the course of this discussion.
Well, I'm getting more info on this. This seems like a Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm watching this play.
Sabotage.
I've watched it like 5 times in a row here.
Yeah.
And we retweeted it out for you guys if you're on the Dale and Keefe Twitter page. And I'm looking at this, and it looks like a running back who...
Oh, no way. That is a fumble on purpose if I ever saw it. Roethlisberger, look at it. He's got the ball like below his groin trying to hand it to him. You got to get the ball up, son. That's not going to work. No, oh, and then his face afterwards. Look at that. What are they doing here? Is like a fullback dive? That's terrible.
That's the point. It wasn't a fullback dive. Josh Harris claims it was not supposed to be a
fullback
dive.
And he just stuck
dive.
It into his
so
fullback,
when,
though.
Yes.
How many times has he ever done that in his entire career?
The ball
Zero
is on
times.
The Cincinnati 19-yard line.
Yeah, so you're feeling still pretty good you're going to win the game.
There's a minute 9 left. You've got the ball.
Yeah.
It's 1st and 10, by the way.
I absolutely agree with Josh Harris.
A minute ago, you didn't like Josh Harris at all.
I love Josh Harris.
Now all of a sudden.
No, what do you mean? I never said I didn't like Josh Harris. I've always been a huge fan of Josh Harris.
Well, you know what else?
I was trying to determine which Josh Harris we were talking about. There's many of them out there.
Ryan Clark doesn't think Josh Harris is all that wrong.
He's not.
Honestly, what Josh is saying is not far off from who Ben is. He was extremely close with Brett Kiesel during my time there.
And we all know about Brett Kiesel's. His cousin, or whatever.
Yeah.
We all know about him, don't we?
I have an affection for Ben that's different. An admiration for him that's different. Because while he was suspended, he went to watch my son Jordan play like a little league football game. So I feel differently about Ben and the type of person he is.
Clark.
And I think other people do. He's not a natural leader. Caring about people above himself is not something that comes easy to him. And so it's something he's had to work on. We had a players-only meeting my first year about Ben. Like, the reason that the meeting was called was to talk about Ben and the way that he related to the team.
I think we're on to something here, Josh Harris. So, again, Dale Keefe, WEEI, tweeted out the video. You got to watch it. And it's clear the way, like, he falls down. Like, give me a break. Why would he fall down? He didn't get hit by anybody. He was really just hamming this thing up. He absolutely fumbled on purpose. Sticks it right into the fullback. Fullback's trying to get by him. How many times has he done that in his whole career?
Now, a texter asks the key question, and yes. One that we've skipped over here.
Yes.
And quite honestly, if Scheim was working today, we'd have asked.
What was the spread?
I mean,
that's a good point.
Let's be honest. What was the spread in this game?
I don't know.
Because then you might have something going here.
Yeah, trying to get the Bengals one more score there. I could see.
Although
it.
They had a long ways to go in a minute 9.
I think Josh Harris.
They had to go 80 yards.
Yeah. This may get him a tryout in the AAF, though, too. I think this is a double whammy for Josh Harris. Yeah.
It's a job application on his part.
Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.